Hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. This is Midwest Madness. Oh my God. Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
That was a mess.
We haven't messed up on that in a while.
Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It is currently Thanksgiving.
It is. We are both full. We just had dinner. Well,
lunch.
And pie. And now I'm not going to eat for another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that's how full I feel.
Yes. We hope you all had a great time with your family. If you're with your family. If not, whatever. I hope you had a great time with your chosen family.
Or whoever you spent it with or however you spent it. Oh, sorry.
Or if you did nothing, hope you enjoyed that too.
Oh, that sounds lovely, honestly.
Literally thinking the same thing.
So nice.
And our Thanksgiving is like not
it's
even.
It's so chill.
It's low key.
I wore a sweatshirt and leggings. Yeah. Like, and my slippers.
Right.
You look cute though.
Oh.
I liked your sweater fit.
Thanks. This is Dad's sweatshirt.
Is it?
The one that I stole from his closet.
Oh, nice.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dad.
So, I had a good birthday.
Yes.
Turned 30. Having a big party tomorrow.
Welcome to your 30s.
Thank you.
Not the only one.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It just 30 sounds so old compared to 29.
Yeah. So far, I've liked my 30s.
Everyone's like, it's the best time of your life. I'm like,
Mom says her 40s.
Her 40s were the best time?
Yeah, she loved her 40s. That's why she's always like, I'm 45 or whatever however old she says she turns every year.
Interesting.
And I said to her, at some point, Mom, you're going to have to age up.
Yeah.
Because I'm aging up and it's starting to get weird.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I leave for my trip in a couple days. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Yep.
I'm so excited for you.
It's going to be a good couple weeks. So we're recording a little early this week.
Yes.
And because we're recording on Thanksgiving, I wanted to do a Thanksgiving-themed story.
Ooh.
So that is what I'm doing today.
And I don't even
even though this is going to come out after Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's less than a week after.
Yeah.
So who cares?
That was where my mindset is. So we're going to stay right here in the state of Minnesota.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell a story I'm pretty sure you probably heard before. You might know it, not know it off like the name of the people, but once you get into the story, you'll probably recognize it.
Okay.
But we're going to be talking about Haley Kiefer and Nicholas Brady. And Nicholas goes by Nick, so I'm going to be calling him Nick. So let's go back to Thanksgiving Day, which was November 23rd, 2012, in Little Falls, Minnesota. Little Falls is located north of St. Cloud and south of Brainerd, so pretty much in the middle of the state. Haley, who was 18, and Nick, who were 17, were cousins who were extremely close. Their families described it more as growing up siblings.
Okay.
Versus cousins. Not something we can really relate to, but
no.
We're not very close with any of our extended family besides our uncles, but
yeah.
On Wednesday, November 21st, so the night before, the two had spent the evening at a friend's apartment, leaving the next morning around 11 a.m. When neither Nick or Haley showed up for Thanksgiving dinner with their families that evening, they began to worry. They tried calling and texting the pair, but never heard anything back. And then it started to snow, so their panic kind of grew a little bit worse because they didn't want them out in the weather.
Right.
Now, their first thought was, with the weather, obviously, they were maybe staying somewhere just to be safe.
Yeah, it was too hard to drive, so.
Yeah, but again, they hadn't reached out, so they were like, I think they were kind of grasping at straws at this point.
Yeah, which is fair.
But when no one was able to reach the two, by Friday, November 23rd, the families filed a missing person report with local officials. Now let's talk really quickly, switching gears, about 64-year-old Byron Smith. Byron was retired from the U.S. State Department and had just moved to the Little Falls area about 5 years prior. He was never married and lived alone. Neighbors and friends described him as a, quote, worldly man who traveled the globe and was a great conversationalist. At the time, people close to Byron had said he had been a little on edge because of a string of break-ins at his home. Themes,
okay, yeah.
You know the story.
It's coming back. Inkling is yes. There. I'm like, There's like a little tickle in the back of my brain.
Right. Thieves had taken cash and family heirlooms from his home, and he was said to have been fearful for his life. On November 22nd, so this was Thanksgiving Day, Byron drove his truck down the side of the road and parked it in front of his neighbor's home. Him and his neighbor visited for a bit when Byron spotted Haley, who he had suspected of being the one to break into his home previously, driving past. He commented to the neighbor that he had to, quote, go get ready for her, end quote, and went back to his home. When he arrived home, he turned on a recording device that he owned, removed the light bulbs from the ceiling lights, and then positioned himself in a chair in his basement that was obstructed from view. He heard the upstairs window break in the home, which you can hear the audio in the audio.
Did you listen to the audio?
I've listened to bits and pieces of it from Dateline, but I haven't listened to, I don't even know if you can find the full audio out there. I'm sure you can, but I have not listened to it. So they heard the window break. Then he waited in complete silence for 12 minutes. Eventually, Nick Brady, who was the one who had entered the broken window and climbed into the home, made his way down the stairs. Before he reached the bottom, Byron shot him twice. Once in the head after he fell to the bottom of the steps. So I believe one of the quotes from Byron was that he first saw like his feet and then he saw his knees. And then once he saw his hips, that's when he first shot.
Okay.
And then he fell down the stairs and he shot him in the head.
He killed him, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Byron then began to taunt and mock Nick, who was then laying on the floor. He then wrapped his body in a tarp and dragged him into another room. He went upstairs, but then about 10 minutes later, he runs back down into the basement, reloads his weapon, and took up his previous position in the chair. Minutes later, Haley enters the home through the same window and starts calling Nick's name. And again, you can hear this in the audio. She makes her way down to the basement and down the stairs, and as she's on the stairs, Byron shoots her again. She also fell down to the bottom, and on the video and audio recording, you can hear Byron say,
too?
Yes, not of the actual shooting, I don't believe, but yeah, there's video recording.
Oh my God.
So she falls down the stairs, and on the recording, you hear Byron say, oh, sorry about that, very sarcastically.
Oh my God.
Haley is then heard saying, oh my God, then Byron shoots her again multiple times in the torso while she screams, oh my God, louder.
Oh my God.
He then shoots her once next to her left eye. The whole time, Byron is calling her derogatory names. He then drags her body into the next room and throws it on top of her cousin's. He then shoots her one last time fatally underneath the chin. All of this, again, was recorded through audio and video.
Oh, my God.
Now, Minnesota does have the Castle Doctrine, which grants protection from legal prosecution to those using force to defend themselves against an intruder. So this should have really been a open and shut case.
I remember a lot of the controversy behind it. But I'll let you get into it rather than saying what I remember.
But what would actually happen is going to be obviously much different. So first off, Byron didn't end up immediately reporting the break-ins and deaths to police. It wasn't until the next day, Friday, that Byron finally called first responders and police to his home.
Okay, that's horrifying.
Right?
You just lived in the house with two bodies
right.
of people you just killed. That's
right.
Like so fucked up.
Yeah, that's crazy. The Morrison County Sheriff, Michael Wetzel, doesn't dispute the fact that Haley and Nick were at the home to burglarize it. In fact, the car that Nick was driving was linked to a burglary of a residence of a retired school teacher the night before. So it wasn't like they were disputing the fact that, they were there for one specific reason. And it right. seemed that they had done this before in the past. But anyway. When first responders arrived to Byron's home, he readily admitted to shooting the two teens. He first led them to the bedroom window that Nick smashed to gain entry into the home, and it was smashed in, so. And then he led them downstairs to a side room where the bodies of Nick and Haley lay, both wrapped in a tarp. Nick had been shot 3 times, and Haley had been shot 6.
And I think if I remember correctly, that was like part of why this was so such a.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into it a little bit.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
You're fine. The first responders noted that the two bodies weren't just laying next to each other, but as I mentioned before, they were laying on top of one another, which they found really strange. And I find very, for some reason to me, that just seems so disrespectful. Like, he's literally just throwing them into a pile, essentially.
Yeah, it feels very derogatory.
Yeah, like, this is human life, and he just doesn't really seem to...
I'm not laughing at this. I'm laughing at the aggressive way our dog just burst into the room.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah, it just seems very disrespectful, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, you weren't even worth it for me to put you side by side. I just threw you into a pile like dirty clothes.
Yeah. Investigators said it was obvious that Byron had been living in a state of fear due to previous break-ins in his home, which they do believe that Nick committed, and he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't really eating. It was really, like, it was really affecting him physically and emotionally, which, I mean, it would affect me as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, we'll say our opinions at the end. Okay. But
yeah, I want to rehear the whole story.
In statements to police, he stated that when he went to shoot Haley with his gun, it originally jammed and she laughed at him. So he pulled out his .22 and shot her. He said, quote, "If you're trying to shoot at somebody and they laugh at you, you go again," end quote. I want to note that in the audio recordings of the crimes, you never once hear Haley laugh. You just hear her say, "Oh my God."
Why would you say that? Do you think he actually believed that she laughed at him?
I don't know.
Okay.
There is one thing about the audio recordings that I will get to in a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe this will kind of clear up why, but...
Okay.
Okay, there were other things about the scene that made investigators question what actually could have gone on during the crime. So one thing is the fact that Byron had moved his car earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. Investigators thought that he could have done this to make it appear that no one was home, so it would look more appealing to...
I was going
to
ask if he brought the truck home, because I remember you said he parked it in front of his neighbors.
No, yes, he did not.
Okay,
he left the car where it was.
Okay, so he... almost set a trap.
That's the argument, yes. Okay. It was also the fact that it seemed to be overkill.
Right.
Byron even stated, quote, "I thought she was dead, and it turned out she wasn't, so I did a good, clean finishing shot," end quote.
So really...
at this point, Byron would have known that both teens were unarmed and no longer a threat, so why did he feel the need to deliver the kill shots to both heads of the teens after they had been shot on the stairs?
Right, because if it's self-defense, you stop once the person can no longer harm you.
Right.
You don't stop when they're dead.
Right.
So I feel like that's where self-defense kind of
goes out the window.
Right.
It was because of all this information that investigators turned the case over to prosecutors Brent Lortner and Pete Orbit, and they decided to bring the case before a grand jury in April of 2013. The grand jury indicted Byron on 2 counts of first degree murder. This case left the town of Little Falls divided, with half the residents backing Byron and half of them glad he was being indicted. But it was prosecutors' belief that Byron went way too far and no longer had the self-defense.
Right. I would agree with that.
Between the moving of his car to waiting 24 hours to report the deaths and the fact that he didn't tell
about that.
And the fact that he didn't tell police about the recording device, they found it hidden themselves.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
So like a trophy almost.
So to me, when you remember the laughing thing?
Yeah.
When I think he didn't realize that they had maybe found the audio recordings. So he didn't know that.
Because I'm wondering if he was, like I said, like keeping it as a trophy for himself.
Yeah, I don't know why they had why he recorded it, to be honest.
Right.
Because he started it, like he purposely started a recording.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird but I guess if you want to claim... I don't really know what the thought process is here.
Right, because it no matter how you look at it, it really just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because if you're going to use it to back your case of what happened and then you lie about what happened, then you've already nixed the reason for recording it.
But you hit it, so right, then what was the point of recording it? Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it was a kind of trophy situation. Who knows? Yeah. But... So, also, In these recordings, Byron can be heard talking to himself before Nick and Haley entered the basement. He kept saying things like, quote, "I don't see them as human, I see them as vermin," end quote. And at one point before the break-in, you also heard him whisper to himself, quote, "in your left eye," end quote. Oh. Haley was shot in her left eye. After he shot and killed Nick Byron, he is heard saying, quote, "you're dead," end quote. After he killed Haley, you hear him call her a bitch. On April 29th, 2014, after just about 3 hours of jury deliberation, Byron Smith was found guilty on 2 counts of first-degree murder with premeditation and on 2 counts of second-degree murder. He was immediately sentenced to life in prison without parole. The audio recordings were the biggest piece of evidence for the jury to come to the guilty conclusion.
Right.
Byron has tried to appeal the conviction and sentence of life imprisonment, but so far none of his attempts have been successful. So that is the whole case. Now we can kind of talk about thoughts on it if you really want to. Obviously, I'm in the camp of this was not self-defense.
Right, I would agree.
I think this is quite far past self-defense,
right,
in my opinion.
And I understand that, like you said, Minnesota has the stand your ground or castle doctrine. Law.
Right. And so, obviously, we're not saying either that, like, Nick and Haley were doing something. They were obviously doing something that they shouldn't have been doing.
Right. But
did they deserve to be murdered in a way that they were murdered for it? No.
Did they deserve to be murdered at all?
No.
And that's not what we're saying either.
No.
I think that's why this made this case so controversial and so, like, holy shit, right?
And I think a lot of it, too, because I did watch the Dateline episode. Okay. I didn't watch it for this podcast, but I have watched it previously. And they do a very good job of talking about it. And they do talk to a lot of people in the city of Little Falls about it.
That's
because
actually where one of my friends is from.
Really? It seems like a lot of the people who are in the on his side.
Her mom watches or listens to us.
Oh, really?
So, hi, Cindy.
So the people who are on her side or his side, sorry, seemed, once the trial happened and these what was on these recordings and more information kind of started to come out, it seemed to me that a lot of them
kind of
flipped a little bit. Obviously not all of them,
right?
But
I mean, not surprising that not everybody did.
Yeah. But and even I believe it was Nick's mom who talked about how even before the trial she was like understanding of his side of Byron's side,
right?
And she was like, I went into this thinking like Nick clearly did something wrong,
right?
But after hearing the recordings and hearing the evidence, like she was like, this man is just like an evil
person. It's literally overkill.
Yeah,
like it's the definition of overkill.
Yeah,
right. I think for me where I have start having issues is the fact that he turns the recording on and then he sits and waits.
For 12 minutes.
Yeah. 12 minutes is more than enough time to call the police.
Right.
So if you were really scared for your life.
Right.
Why was there no emergency call?
Right. And because, then you wait 24 hours.
Right.
Because for what reason?
I keep a softball bat in my room for self-defense because I don't own a firearm. I would love to learn how to shoot a gun. Like that's on my bucket list of things to do in the next year. Is to learn how to shoot a gun, not necessarily to own one.
I have a firearm in my home.
Is it yours or is it?
No.
Your roommate's?
My roommate's. Okay. And I do feel safer now that
I would love.
No, she has one.
I would. Do you think she would take me to a range?
Yeah, she would love to.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Like for real, tell her and give her my number,
please. Well, you'll see her tomorrow, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to talk to her. Because I really, and that's been on my list of things to do for a really long time, just so that I know. In case of an emergency, when I am living on my own, if I want to have that, that's an option.
Well, I think it's just smart I mean, whether you believe in firearms and whatnot,
right.
I think the fact of the matter is they are accessible and out there. And I feel like it's our duty to know how they work and understand.
How to safely
handle them.
I agree.
Because as of right now, they're not going anywhere, right?
Right.
So we might as well
I don't
have the information. Right.
I just think it should be a lot harder to get a hold of
them. Well, we're getting into politics, but
yeah.
I'm just saying if they're going to be out there, we might as well be educated on them.
Right.
So.
I would agree. It's So I understand that this was affecting him
mentally and emotionally, physically. I get that 100%.
I understand that, and I feel terrible for him about that. But again, it's how it was handled. Yeah. Right.
Right.
I think it was handled in such a malicious way. Right.
He had decided that whoever was coming into his house next
was gonna die.
Yeah. Yes. And that is clear in my opinion. So
I would agree, and I think
this 3 hours completely that.
Not overly surprising.
No, not at all. In my opinion,
it would have, in my opinion, been more surprising if it took longer.
I think so too.
Because like, it feels very cut and dry that like, the facts are this was literally overkill. This was no longer self defense.
Right.
Because once he's down on the ground, he's unarmed.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do?
Right.
You did not need to shoot either of them more than once.
And you definitely didn't. Yeah. Need to shoot. Yeah, I agree.
So,
I do remember when this story happened. Me too. It is very, I remember it being a big thing.
Yeah, because I feel like before everything came out. It was a lot more controversial.
Yes.
A lot more divided.
Yes.
But once, like you said, within the town even, once things kind of
came out
and were revealed to be the circumstances they were, I feel like things shifted a lot more in like, we kind of get it, but like definitely was overkill.
Yeah, I agree. So let me get my
good one.
Thanks.
That was a good one.
I wanted to do something Thanksgiving, and I knew that one was going to be a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
So, and I've been fucking.
And you've been so busy.
So busy. So.
I mean, you're literally going on a 12?
10.
Wait, 10 day?
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it was over a week. I couldn't remember much. Oh my God, I'm so
excited for you. Here are my sources. So I had oxygen.com, wikipedia.org, and nbcnews.com. So.
And our socials are mwmadness@gmail.com. That is also our Instagram. And also we are Midwest Madness podcast group on Facebook.
Perfect. All right, everybody. You have a great rest of your week. Happy December. And we will talk to you
December.
Next Tuesday.
Bye.